I am here in studio right now with Patrick O'Connor, our state senator from Weymouth, and we also have a couple here from Marshfield, and that's Allison and Greg Shea. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Christine.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. You folks have a story to tell that I think a lot of people will be able to identify with, because this is something that's happening in our society now. You've endured heartache from what happened, and yet you are moving forward in a positive way to try to change something that's going to benefit a lot of people. And Patrick O'Connor is here because he is crafting the legislation that's going to go along with this. So if you would share your story a little bit with our listeners about what happened to one of your beloved family members. Greg?
Okay, yes. We, unfortunately, tragically, almost 2 years ago next month, we found our 21-year-old son, Gregory, dead in the family room of our home in Scituate. And after a period, we realized through the coroner's report that he had died from fentanyl. We were obviously devastated and reaching out, trying to get some kind of justice or take some action to see. We knew where he got the drugs from, so we wanted to see the police and law enforcement take some action with regards to that. However, we were told, and we, after going up the chain, we were told that it really isn't a law in the books that deals directly with prosecuting fentanyl. So as a result, we started reaching out to our lawmakers, and in that process, we reached out to Senator O'Connor, who happened to be the only lawmaker that responded, and he responded positively, and we began a dialogue, and what we have before us today is a bill that he took the time to research and put together for us, for the state, so that the law enforcement has a tool that they can use to help prosecute these fentanyl dealers.
And Pat O'Connor, State Senator Pat O'Connor, tell me specifically how this bill would target the people that peddle fentanyl.
So right now there's nothing on the books for individuals who are directly related to a drug-induced homicide. We have laws related to trafficking, we have laws related to distribution, but when it comes to actually connecting the dots from an individual dealer who deals a deadly dose of fentanyl to an individual, they then take it and pass away from an overdose, accidental overdose because of that, there's nothing to prosecute that individual that dealt that poison to the individual who's suffering with substance use disorder. And so we, me and my staff, we researched this and tried to put pen to paper on producing one of the better bills that are out there. 23 states already have drug-induced homicide laws in the books. And so what we did was we took the best practices from those states. We saw some of the roadblocks and challenges that might be presented to us here in Massachusetts, a very liberal state, very criminal justice reform-minded state. And we put together a law that gives judges discretion and gives prosecutors or district attorneys discretion on being able to tie drug-induced homicides to individual drug dealers. And we're looking at mid-level dealers and high-level dealers. We're not trying to criminalize addiction, and we're not trying to penalize people who are, you know, trying to support their own substance use disorder that they have. We're trying to take these people off the streets who are peddling these poisons in every single part of every single community in the state.
You know, and I wasn't even aware of this, very honestly. This was a great column in the Globe by Kevin Cullen, who really mapped out what your journey and what the horrible thing you had suffered from with your son. And you have a picture here, and we're going to get that up on our website when we get it. He looks like such a nice, friendly, kind young man. Now, Allison, you're the mother. We talked a little bit off air. If people hear the names of drugs and it's like, okay, it's just another drug, that's not true about fentanyl. And I think I'd like to emphasize how serious a problem this is. Fentanyl, as I believe, is 50 times more powerful than heroin. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. That's correct.
That's very scary. And I know that you refer to it as poisoning by fentanyl.
Yeah, intentional fentanyl poisoning.
And I think a lot of people might not be aware with that it's invasive and it's pervasive, meaning it's not just people that are snorting cocaine or taking other forms of drugs. Fentanyl is in there. Why do they put fentanyl into the drug?
It's cheaper. You know, people get addicted quicker to it. And a lot of people don't even know that they're ingesting fentanyl, and they just get it in a form of pill. But once it's ingested, as we know, it can kill. You know, and the other point that I wanted to mention is that 94% of all drug-induced deaths involve fentanyl. That's a big number.
It is a big number. And I wasn't sure a lot of people were aware of it. And they talk, well, what about Narcan? Doesn't react to Narcan. So this is, for want of a better term, we talked a little bit about, this would be like sticking a lighted stick of dynamite in your mouth, is basically what you're dealing with.
Right.
And yet it's everywhere. It's killing a lot of people. Pat O'Connor, you had a number for me a little bit earlier, how many people have died from, just in the first, 9 months of last year, I think, or the last 9 months, from fentanyl poisoning?
Yeah, we're looking at close to 2,000 Massachusetts residents, and last year's statistics that we had was over 100,000 U.S. citizens have died from fentanyl. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with something that, you know, when you look at it, is almost two times the amount of people that died in the Vietnam War annually. Are dying of fentanyl. We're experiencing a crisis, in my opinion, like we've never seen before, and we need to give our law enforcement and our prosecutors more tools in order to take that sort of three-barstool approach to this, where you already have the elements of treatment, and our treatment programs, in my opinion, are some of the best, if not the best, in the entire country. Mm-hmm. You have the element of education, which I think is the only way we get out of this at the end mm-hmm. of the day, is to teach a new generation that of the mistakes that this generation has made. And the last one, which I think that we haven't paid enough attention to, is enforcement. And I think that we need a level of an element of justice in what we do here in this approach to what we're taking, because the status quo isn't working. More and more kids are dying from this, and more people are getting away and making fortunes from this. And it's tremendously sad to see, you know, situations like what happened to the Shays happen, and when they know exactly who the individual was that provided them, their son, that lethal dose, that there's nothing you can do. It's time that we start to actually do something.
Absolutely, and we are again speaking with the Shea family, whose son did die after ingesting cocaine that was laced with fentanyl. Greg, you've taken steps and working with a law firm, putting together a foundation. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, we're putting together the foundation to provide outreach to families that have suffered similar situations to ours, losing a loved one to fentanyl, not just fentanyl specifically, but to any substance abuse disorder. We want to provide outreach, education, support to those families, and try to gather together, because there's so many people out there that they don't have to suffer alone. You know, a lot of people don't realize that there's services available. We want to try to make sure that they get those services and reach out to them. And if things go well, we'd like to be able to financially help some of these organizations that are already out there actively doing this.
And I hope when this gets up and moving a little bit and you're really getting rolling with it, we hope you're going to come back on and tell our listeners a little bit more about this.
I'd be thrilled to be back. And one last thing, if I could add.
Yeah, please.
This bill that Senator O'Connor has worked so hard on to introduce is going to need a lot of support to get through committee at the State House, which means people coming forward. And we know there's so many victims out there, and this is their chance to be heard, to come forward and speak and support this bill, so law enforcement does have a tool to fight this and battle this epidemic.
Absolutely. And Allison, Mom, anything else you wanted to add about maybe other families that are going through this, letting know that there is some hope?
There is hope out there. You're going to cry every day, and I just want you to know that. But one of our goals is to provide some support to the families as well going through this, because Greg and I felt like we were on an island alone. And it took us, we found energy through trying to get help through, you know, Patrick O'Connor, and we're very thankful that he's, you know, trying to help us and the other constituents of Massachusetts.
Absolutely. And Pat O'Connor, State Senator Pat O'Connor from Weymouth, how can people who are hearing this and are so sad and so horrified and they want to do something concrete, how can they help you get that bill through the legislature?
So the bill got filed on Friday, which was the last day that we had in the window, the two-week window that we have to file our bills. We have a docket right now, and we should be getting a bill number in the next few weeks. And once we get that bill number, I would suggest everyone reach out to their local legislator. I know that a lot of people here listening are from the South Shore, but reach out to your local legislator, write emails to, I'm guessing this is going to go to the Joint Committee of the Judiciary, and really start to think about how you can advocate for something like this. Again, it's written in a way that we want to make sure that we get the people who are most responsible for the most amount of deaths from fentanyl off the streets. And I think that that's a real key piece that was missing in some other states that we're going to be able to do. And as I said, you know, this isn't going to solve the opioid epidemic that we have going on in our communities, but it's going to be able to give our law enforcement, our prosecutors, more tools to take the people who are putting the poison on the streets off the streets.
What's the best way that people can contact you or your office if they've got questions and or want to help?
Sure. Phone number is 617-722-1646 or my name, patrick.o'connor@masenate.gov. And I try to look at my emails and get back to them personally. So anyone who has any questions, who've lost a loved one, who may disagree with some elements of the bill, I'm more than happy to have that conversation with all of them.
And we're going to follow this story, and you're going to keep us posted on how it goes and give us an update on your foundation. Allison and Greg Shea, thank you for sharing your story with us. I'm sure there's other listeners that are going through the same thing, and gives them a little bit of hope and a little bit of comfort. And Pat O'Connor, stay in touch, and we'll make sure we get on again and find out what's happening. Now, meanwhile, we're going to post this interview up online so you can listen to it. Going to put it on our Facebook page, too. We'll have that information up there for you. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having us, Christine. And thank you very much to Senator O'Connor and his office for their hard work.
Absolutely.